This is Jay Sekulow, Secretary of Defense Hagel before the House Committee. The issue, the trade of the Gitmo detainees.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The detainee transfer raises numerous national security policy and legal questions. The explanations we received from the White House officials at a House-wide briefing earlier this week were misleading and at times blatantly false.
The second piece that I'm concerned about is the 30-day requirement. Now, I know the president put a signing statement when he signed the law that had that 30-day requirement in it, saying that he was concerned about the constitutionality about it. But the law is the law. The way you challenge constitutionality is you go to court and you figure out whether or not the courts say it's constitutional or not. And until the courts rule on that, it is the law.
The president's decision to move forward with the transfer of these detainees was a tough call. I supported it. I stand by it.
We have no direct evidence of any direct involvement in their direct attacks on the United States or any of our troops. They were part of the Taliban.
So your point was they didn't pull the trigger, but they were senior commanders of the Taliban military who directed operations against the United States. Would
that's
that
right.
be a better way to do it?
That's right.
Just like bin Laden didn't pull a trigger, but we went after him because he's the one that caused the 9/11.
Did you make an assessment of how many American lives may be put at risk if they have to be recaptured?
No.
Okay.
There's risk that we have to our country, threats to our country every day, everywhere. And the other point I would make on this, we determined that there was a substantial mitigation of risk for this country, for our interests, for our citizens and our service members when we made this decision.
It just flies in the face of all the other evidence we have. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the hearings are going on in Washington, D.C. right this moment with members of Congress questioning Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. I want to go to it right this moment if we're ready to go. There's some questioning coming right now. Let's go.
We didn't need to know the operational details.
And
so when they went to the operational detail aspect, reality is that they're trying to draw this distinction, David French, between these five not pulling a trigger versus being the masterminds, as if being the masterminds isn't so bad.
It's ridiculous. It's like saying, well, if you return a general, it's not as dangerous as if you return a private. I mean, these are guys who commanded, trained, equipped, armed, orchestrated Taliban activities. To make this argument, it just presumes the American people don't know anything. It just presumes the American people are ignorant.
Jordan, what is the sense? I mean, the hearing's going on right across the street from you right now. What's the sense there? I know Than is up on a lot of these meetings. What's going on there?
Yeah, the idea of what kind of threat these five individuals pose to the United States has been key in the hearing of this back and forth about the fact that there are a number of intelligence reports done on these five, because this has been an ongoing dialogue with the Taliban trying to secure the release here of Sergeant Bergdahl. And the idea was that these five were just too dangerous. In fact, one of the congressmen, and we can play when we come back from this first break, was talking about how this would be like releasing the Deputy Secretary of Defense, the Deputy Secretary of National Intelligence, and the list goes on. And that the idea that they may not have pulled the trigger, well, secretaries of defense don't pull the trigger either, but they're certainly responsible for the conduct of the military.
Yeah, we've got sound from that hearing. We're going to play that when we come back from the break. We are taking your phone calls as well. Former Senator Chuck Hagel, now the Secretary of Defense, is on the hearing, at the hearing right now. We are monitoring it. We've got sound from it. And we're taking your calls, your reaction to this trade. And Senator Hagel, Secretary of Defense Hagel, saying these guys didn't pull the trigger, therefore they're not really dangerous to America. How do you view that? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We are taking your phone calls. Again, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, let me tell you how the American people are reacting to giving money to jihadist groups and terrorist groups like Hamas, which is being planned right now by the administration. 60,675 of our members said, don't do it. If you want to join in that petition, go to ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or the easiest way, ACLJ.org.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
You're just joining us. What we've got right now is the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, is before the House committee that is overseeing what happened with this U.S. Taliban prisoner exchange situation. I want to play for you an engagement here. I'm going to play two. One is, let me play the first one here. It's Congressman Randy Forbes, a good friend of ours from Virginia. Listen to what he had to say to Chuck Hagel.
The individuals we released were essentially equivalent to releasing a deputy secretary of defense, a deputy secretary of intelligence, a deputy secretary of interior, a governor, and a commander. And when the president was asked if there was a possibility of them returning to activities that are detrimental to the U.S., his answer was absolutely. Our deputy director of national intelligence was even harsher. He said the latest community-wide U.S. intelligence assessment on these five terrorists said he expected four out of the five Taliban leaders would return to the battlefield.
So I'm asking myself, what are we doing, and why, David, did the president ignore the leadership that said, don't do this? By the way, we said Chuck Hagel was going to be trouble as Secretary of Defense. 260,000 of you objected to his appointment. Unfortunately, he was confirmed, and now you're seeing the fruit of that. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that was our biggest petition. Our second biggest petition ever in ACLJ history to that point, and all 260,000 were right. Look, this release fit the president's agenda of ending the Afghanistan war within his term, and this was tying up a loose end. And the president's agenda of ending the Afghanistan war on his timetable is not necessarily what's best for our national security,
right,
as we're seeing today.
All right, so Jordan, the question, and I know everybody's calling and asking this, and we are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Everybody's asking this. So there's huge objection to the way this was handled. Do we have any recourse? That's the question.
Well, I think, you know, politically there's always recourse in elections. And so sending the message that this kind of behavior and this kind of action by the president, if supported by his fellow party members, I mean, that's why we have elections coming up in November. That's the quickest way. You know, there's the legal aspect of this. There's legislation being discussed right now, introduced by Senator Ted Cruz, about the idea of stopping any more Gitmo releases until Congress has got a chance to look at this. This violated what the law that already existed. You heard today already from Secretary Hagel trying to explain how this was not in violation, but he did admit they could have done a much better job. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense if this administration has been working on this for as long as they are reporting. I mean, these intelligence assessments go back to even before President Obama took office. If that's the case, then certainly it's not that they could have done better. It's that they knew what they should have done, and they decided not to. They briefed 90 people in Washington, not one of them a member of Congress.
Which is think about that, folks, for a moment. I mean, 80 or 90 people were involved in it, but they didn't bother to tell Congress, which is what the law required. Again, if you want to, and they're going to do the same thing with funding Hamas. Our money's going to go right over to Hamas. And if you're concerned about that, we want you to join our petition. My goal is to get this one to 100,000. We stopped those jets, remember, at the right time. A few got through, but we stopped that whole funding when it was the Muslim Brotherhood running Egypt and got that handled. We could do the same thing here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. The easiest way is for you to just go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition online at ACLJ.org. Jordan, let's take some phone calls. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Robbie in Kansas on line 4. Robbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Robbie.
Hey, thank you very much.
Sure.
You guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful there's someone like you out watching and taking care of us ignorant other citizens.
Well, you're not ignorant. You're following this stuff. Our listeners and viewers and callers are not ignorant. But I appreciate it, Robbie. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, you answered my question about recourse. Let me make a statement and
sure.
I'll be done. That is, I'm convinced this president, we call him president, he
right.
doesn't care if he's law-abiding. He just wants to make a mess of the Constitution and our country and obliterate as much of it as he can.
Well, it's a specific agenda. I mean, we talked about this on the broadcast yesterday, David. This is not the stuff that the president's doing here. And by the way, Chuck Hagel, and we'll see if we can find the bite. I mean, he did say the president did this. And I want to, because remember, there was that whole discussion yesterday. It was really Chuck Hagel's call. But let's hear what Chuck Hagel had to say about this.
The president's decision to move forward with the transfer of these detainees.
All right, there you go. The president's decision. So the president made this decision, and that's because this is the worldview he's adopted. This is his vision of how we should be doing things. And it's wreaking havoc in the Middle East. Right now, Iraq is a mess. I mean, we were talking about that before, David. I mean, the whole plan of what the way this has gone has been very dangerous.
Let's be very clear about what has happened with Mosul following and Tikrit falling. With both of those cities falling and with northern Syria in jihadist hands, there is a chunk of the Middle East right now that is the largest chunk of territory that al-Qaeda has ever controlled in its history and is happening on President Obama's watch.
So Jordan, how is that going to play? I mean, you've got the whole Middle East falling apart right now under the watch of President Obama.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we're focused in right now on an after the fact. I mean, you know, these five Taliban commanders and top leaders, as we heard Congressman Forbes talk about, the idea of how we would equate them to our American understanding of government, talking about a deputy secretary of intelligence, a deputy secretary of interior, governor, and a commander, and that's who we released. You know, that we're not even focused on the fact that there is a unraveling, continuing, brutal civil war in Syria. A group more radical than al-Qaeda, so radical that's operating in Iraq that al-Qaeda won't affiliate with them in their brutality, is taking over city by city Iraq. Again, this is all happening under President Obama's watch. And let's not forget that Egypt just inaugurated a new president. Very similar to Mubarak, a former military general who seized power through a coup and then called for an election immediately. So, again, this has all happened. And we're not even talking about Libya yet with Benghazi. It has all happened under the Obama presidency. And now, of course, Afghanistan coming into play. And the Taliban, throughout this process, people may have thought they were eviscerated, that there was no more Taliban government, but in fact, it's the United States and some of our diplomats, the Afghanistan government right now, talking about opening up diplomatic dialogue, continuing diplomatic dialogue with the Taliban. So
yep.
For those of you who thought they were gone, they certainly aren't.
Well, let me play for you a Democrat, Representative Adam Smith, none too happy with what the administration's done here.
And the second piece that I'm concerned about is the 30-day requirement. Now, I know the president put a signing statement when he signed the law that had that 30-day requirement in it, saying that he was concerned about the constitutionality about it. But the law is the law. The way you challenge constitutionality is you go to court, and you'd figure out whether or not the courts say it's constitutional or not. And until the courts rule on that, it is the law.
This is a Democratic member of the United States House of Representatives saying the president did not follow through with the law. What should be the consequences of that? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And if you want to make sure that the president doesn't do this again with your taxpayer dollars going to Hamas to try to obliterate Israel, then you go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition now, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's 989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We encourage you to make the call. Let's take another phone call. And by the way, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Tim in Alabama on line 3. Tim, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jay. Thank you. I'm Tim Smith. I spent 15 years as a naval officer in cryptology.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Satellite counter-espionage and naval aviation. At 15-year point, a lot of friends of mine left, and I did, because of Bill Clinton. We wish to God we had him back.
Isn't that also, something? Yeah. No, a lot of people are saying that. You take that any day right now, I know.
Hitler never fired a shot. Would we trade him as a prisoner of war for a sergeant?
Of course not. And this whole idea, I cannot even believe Chuck, let's play that again. The line, let's find it, where Chuck Hagel said these individual members did not engage directly. Now, listen to how ridiculous this is. Then I'm going to play Randy, I'll play it afterwards, Randy Forbes' response. Listen to this.
The five detainees that were released. You said that there is always some risk associated with releasing someone from Guantanamo, but you also said that they have not been implicated in any attacks on the United States. At some point, there was evidence that they were involved in hostilities, military operations against the coalition, weren't there?
Yes, they were mid to high-ranking members of the Taliban government.
So they didn't fire the shot. They ordered the shot to be fired, and that exonerates them. So we give them back to the enemy. I mean, this is the Secretary of Defense in the United States of America. I mean, think about this for a moment, folks. We've got a lot more on this when we come back from the break. You go to your phones right now or to ACLJ.org, and you say enough of this. We're not doing this anymore. ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. It's time to take the government back. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. They were leaders, but they didn't fire the shot, so therefore they're okay to trade. He really said that. I'm going to play that again when we come back from the break. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign that petition now. Get your frustration in a petition. ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
I'm going to write to Representative Adam Smith, Democrat. Listen to this.
That's correct.
Yeah, my only gloss on that would be my understanding is in the very early going, there were direct talks between the U.S. government and the Taliban, and then it later became indirect with the Qataris. But there was never.
There's a pretty big statement. So that the whole thing about it not being this is, by the way, from the Defense Department's general counsel. I thought maybe I misunderstood, but I thought we were not having direct communication with the Taliban on this. We were not negotiating with terrorists. What happened to that, David?
Well, you know, there went the plausible deniability. I mean,
whoa,
we were getting messages over the last several days that this was all indirect through a middleman. Now we find out that there was a direct phase of these negotiations.
Well, it sounded like what he said. I want to play that back. Let's get that back. That the general counsel said, that's why we do, folks, we're live here. We're live here for another 30 minutes. You need to go to ACLJ.org if you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast. We'll get to your calls. But here's what apparently happened. The story that the administration has said is what the Qataris were handling all this, the government in Qatar. And what appears to have happened is the general counsel for the military just said, if I'm getting it right, that in fact the initial discussions, Jordan, were between the United States and the Taliban directly. And then the Qatari government came in.
Exactly what I was discussing before we went to this break and came back is that the idea here that the United States is treating the Taliban as an acting partner in negotiations, this is somewhat foreign, I think, to many people who thought that we beat the Taliban. The Taliban's not in control of Afghanistan. We went to war. The Taliban was defeated, thrown out, and now they're negotiating. So they are now back to being a kind of actor within Afghanistan. They're not in charge of the government technically, though the current Afghan president, and there's been a lot of trouble with the Afghan election and assassination yep. attempts on the leading candidate there. The Taliban's trying to make a comeback, and U.S. Even sitting down, even back-channel negotiations directly with the Taliban legitimizes them to their own people and to the world.
I think we need to hear this. I think, folks, this is very important. This is who initiated the conversation with the Taliban. Take a listen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, just on the point of who we negotiated with, to clarify this. Originally, this was all worked through the Qataris, and they were talking with the Taliban. Originally, we were going to have connection. So there's no evidence whatsoever that we, or even the Qataris for that matter, negotiated with the Haqqani network. It was always the Taliban. It was the Taliban reaching out to Doha and then reaching out to us. So it's pretty straightforward that the people we were negotiating with were the Taliban. Who held him when, where, whatever, but the people we were talking to about his release, the people who apparently controlled his release, was the former Taliban government, now the insurgents. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, my only gloss on that would be my understanding is in the very early going, there were direct talks between the U.S. government and the Taliban, and then it later became indirect with the Qataris. Well,
folks, this is we wanted to play the entire context for you because we're analyzing it legally right now, too, through a legal lens here. But it sounds like to me that we've got an explosive admission here. And that is that the United States was directly negotiating with the Taliban. Now, has the policy – I want to see if we can find, and it may not be able to get it today. Did Jay Carney say didn't he say we were not negotiating with the Taliban? I'm almost positive he said something to that effect. David, what's your reaction first militarily? Folks, we're going to get to your calls. Hang in there. This is obviously breaking news. We're covering it right here.
I mean, what a slap in the face.
Unbelievable.
What a slap in the face. I mean, the idea that we would go into direct talks with the Taliban, which is still – Let's not gloss over it. These are some of the most medieval terrorists in the world. I mean, they're some of the most brutal terrorists in the world, ejected from power from Afghanistan, running this insurgency on the fringes, and we're directly communicating with them. Amazing. And that undermines the Afghan government, by the way.
Jordan, I'm sure right now, as we are breaking this live on air, I am sure the White House media spin room is trying to figure out what do we do now.
Yeah, that's right. This is another one of those situations. Chuck Hagel has never been particularly great at handling these hearings. Even when he was going through his confirmation process, you don't hear from him a lot directly when he's subject to this kind of questioning. But they have used him to go out and try to take the heat from Congress. And listen, I think that ultimately what the White House is still trying to spin this as a positive story, but it is quickly unraveling. The idea here that not only are we negotiating with terrorists, we're negotiating with the terror group, the state functionaries of Al-Qaeda, who flew the planes into the World Trade Center, who flew the plane into the Pentagon. These are the guys. These are their deputy secretaries of defense. These are their field commanders. These are their governors. So this would be like taking our government officials, if they were responsible for some kind of war, this would be the people. Okay, so in any country, in any nation, your executive branch is certainly guilty because they are the ones ordering these moves. It's Osama bin Laden wasn't on the planes. He was hiding in caves through Afghanistan, and yet he was still found and killed by our troops. And we've released these five deputies to bin Laden.
I'll tell you this, folks. We've got to fight back and fight back aggressively. We're going to do just that. Go to ACLJ.org. And sign that petition now to voice your objection to what's going on here. You can also call in at 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go to Phil in Lubbock, Texas. He's on line 3. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I've just got a question about...
Yep.
With these petitions,
yes.
How many of them that have been submitted to the White House or to the White House staff have actually done anything? I mean, it's probably less than 1% of the voting population.
Well, let me tell you what they've done. Do you remember when the FCC was going to put news monitors in newsrooms throughout the United States? We launched a petition. Guess what happened? It stopped. Remember when the IRS was going to change the rules on what organizations can do regarding political speech, and then we're going to change it retroactively to stop that? Guess what? We filed the petitions. It stopped. I could give you a list. Jordan, you're up there. It's very effective, Phil. Very, very effective. It doesn't take a large percent of the population to get the attention of White House, Capitol Hill, and the UN for that matter.
Yeah, it's all about constituencies, and everybody listening to this broadcast right now, it makes up someone's constituent, whether it's a House member, a member of the U.S. Senate, and ultimately the President of the United States. And these issues, when you speak out, and then another member, and so your member of Congress is notified, they start speaking out, and then someone else also joins from another congressional district. You put that all together, and suddenly you've got places like the FCC or the IRS under real pressure. From not just the American people, but from their elected representatives. And so that's the goal. It's the two-part process, getting you involved so that your elected officials are not just notified about the issue, but understand that their constituents care about it. And then that action transforms into them putting the heat on the executive branch and the various agencies of the federal government.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take more of your calls. Obviously, folks, we're here for another half hour. ACLJ.org, you can listen to us online there live or, of course, SiriusXM and a number of stations as well. If you want to sign this petition, I urge you to do it. We've got breaking news on this. ACLJ.org is the easiest place to do it. ACLJ.org, we also have an email alert going out on a lot of this. It's going out right now. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And if you want to talk to us on air, that's easy as well, 1-800-684-3110. Share this information on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Get this information out. But again, sign that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. So now we find out that we negotiated situation looks like with the release of these initially with the Qataris, rather directly with the Taliban, which was contrary to what the way the negotiations have been portrayed. We're taking your phone calls. A lot of people objecting to this. Jordan, let's go in there. We got people been holding a long time. Let's take some phone calls here.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Joanne in New York on line one. Joanne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Jay. First of all, I want to let you know how much I appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
And I stand behind you
100%.
This is in regard to a Facebook post from yesterday about it states that the law does not allow the United States government to give money to terrorists.
Correct.
So then why is the Obama administration
right.
allowed to send tax money to the Hamas-led Palestinian
right.
Authority? I posted this, and a friend wants to know exactly what law was he breaking.
Okay, well, there's laws on the books that have been signed, and we could give you the details of it, actually. Go ahead, David.
Section 2339B, Title 18 of the United States Code. It's a provision of the Patriot Act prohibiting material support for groups designated as terrorists.
And Hamas is a designated terrorist organization. So we'll give it to you again slowly so you can tell your friend. Go ahead, David, the code.
Section 2339B, Title 18 of the United States Code. I bet that will be specific enough for your friend.
So the answer is money should not be going to Hamas because they're a recognized terrorist organization. Although this administration may decide to not call them terrorists anymore. I mean, who knows? 1-800. In fact, they're trying to almost elude that by saying, well, now that they're in unity government with Fatah, it's not just Hamas. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd. It all defies logic. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You know, the Fatah Hamas thing would be really big news if we didn't have this other mess going on right now. But we're trying to deal with all of this in our offices in Washington. I know that Jordan Fan's up on Capitol Hill, and you all have been busy with this stuff. Let's take another call here before the break.
Yeah, let's go to John in Indiana on line four. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hey, hi. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to thank all the veterans who served in all the wars.
Absolutely.
Most of my friends and Second World War people I know are dead because they went to the VA hospital. So I'm appalled about this administration. I'm appalled about the administration's dealing with Benghazi. I'm appalled at the IRS scandal. I'm appalled at everything this administration has done. What about the health care issue done behind closed doors?
Well, the administration's agenda, John, is to move their... Remember, the president said, I'll use a pen and a phone. And the law said you're supposed to give notification to Congress before you release Gitmo detainees, and Jordan, he just ignored it. He used his pen and his phone.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's actually part of this dialogue with Secretary Hagel in Congress is that the law was basically ignored in this situation. So they knew what the law was. They knew it was clear. And they're trying to make this case that it was so immediately necessary, though members of Congress have not been convinced on this. I'm
right.
sure if they were convinced on that, I think that there could be an argument to be made there. But the idea that members of Congress are leaving these briefings, which are classified briefings, and kind of putting their hands up in
yep.
the air, that's right, leads me to believe that that's a very weak case that the administration is trying to make, that this was a time they could decide willfully not to follow the law.
You know, David, very quickly here, so we're going up on a break. We're taking your calls, by the way, at 800-684-3110. There will ultimately be a consequence for this, but the reality is that this is exactly the administration's plan.
Oh, absolutely.
This isn't like surprise.
Absolutely. They're wanting to wind down the war in Afghanistan
yep.
by any means necessary and empty out Gitmo.
At the same time.
Exactly.
And they're doing it, and they're just ignoring the law. So what else is new? Well, you could fight back on this, and you are. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let me also urge you to support the work of the ACLJ. Really critically important that we do that. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, you could support the work of the ACLJ, but you also sign this petition. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, and like us on Facebook. David, we are approaching 1 million on my Facebook and 720,000 almost on ACLJ's. We're getting close to 2 million.
That's right. Very, very close.
So like us on Facebook, folks. A great way for you to get information. And follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow. Back with your calls in a moment. No. Okay, we stay live right now.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path.
The
president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released five of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. So now it looks like we negotiated directly with the Taliban for the release of these Gitmo detainees, which, David, is contrary. I mean, they've always said that we've had discussions with the Taliban, but I thought they were really specific because we didn't negotiate with terrorists, and now they're saying, oh, the Taliban's not terrorists. They're an enemy combatants.
Well, and it's also they've been very confused about whether it's a direct negotiation or through intermediaries, which there's different important diplomatic differences there. So this is, to me, this is an interesting development because it's opening up that direct line to the Taliban, and to call them enemy combatants gives them too much dignity because they have not and have never complied with the laws of war in any way, shape, or form, and to treat them as if they did...
And they're not state actors.
...is absurd, and they are not state actors.
Absolutely not. All right, back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go to Glenn in New Jersey.
Yeah, Glenn, welcome to JSecu Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and a blessing to speak with you.
Yep.
I really love your show
and
all the men that work with you.
Thanks.
My question goes back to the young lady Miriam that's
in Sudan,
with her baby
and
son. I wonder how silent would Obama be if this were a Muslim woman in an Israeli jail?
Oh, and the children were in the jail, what the Israelis would never do, of course, but... they'd be, you know, cutting off aid to the Israelis. That's what they'd be doing. Jordan, what's the latest on that, by the way, on the situation with Miriam?
You know, unfortunately, I think it's somewhat going the way that the Sudanese have wanted, which is the, you know, misinformation. Everybody doesn't stay up to speed on everything every single day. And now back in limbo, you know, the appeal process moves forward. But she's still shackled. She's got two American children in prison with her outside of Khartoum. And, you know, I think the caller, to the point you made, Dad, that has to be made clear. This doesn't happen outside the Islamic world and the world of extreme dictatorships. I would say places like China, North Korea, and the Islamic world. I mean, it's pretty tough to come up with any others where this kind of situation could even remotely occur.
Yeah. No, I think this is a very... But look, we are working on Miriam's case. If you go to BeHeardProject.com, we've got a lot of information there. We've our offices around the globe are working on this, and we're pushing hard. It's even if when things are not in the news, including when they're not in the news, on Pastor Saeed's case, believe me, we got a team working on these cases. We're working on Miriam Ibrahim's situation as well and for her kids. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jim is calling from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate everything you do.
I have a comment and a question, and I'll keep them both brief for the sake of other callers. I have two children that are both in the military, and one was recently deployed to Afghanistan, and I'm almost certain that his boots hit the ground about the same time as these five high-risk exchangees had their boots hit the ground as well.
Yeah,
that is a big concern of mine.
Sure.
If this was also done illegally, how is this not seen as an act of treason?
Yeah, treason is it's a bit of a loaded word, as you know, but it's also a very high legal standard. But let me get David to address the situation. By the way, we appreciate your children's sacrifice and service to our country. But David, let me have you address the first part of Jim's question.
Well, you know, I don't think there's any question in any reasonable person's mind that we gave the Taliban a victory, that we strengthened the Taliban. Now, I do think that American combat operations are winding down in Afghanistan. So the primary risk will be borne by the Afghans themselves over the near term. But over the long term, this increases the risk to American soldiers, not just in Afghanistan, but around the world. Let's not forget, the reach of jihad goes far beyond the borders in Afghanistan.
Right.
And we have American service members everywhere, including in areas where there's less intense security than there is in Afghanistan. And they have just been given a signal that they can win a big victory if they grab an American, and that is incredibly dangerous.
Jordan, what do you think the fall, and by the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, that's 800-684-3110. Jordan, what do you think the fallout on this is with Chuck Hagel's testimony today?
You know, it's some of that is up to the American people and the attention span issue. I think, you know, we keep learning more information. We keep finding out new facts about how this took place. We get the apologies. You know, this could have been done better. Yet they were working on this for, you know, years, it appears to be. So they wanted to keep this from Congress. They informed a number of other people. It gives us insight into the rise of the Taliban. This is while there's a rise of extremists basically taking over Iraq as this hearing is going on Capitol Hill. You've got the wars going on in the Middle East. To me, the bigger aspect of this is the failure of the Obama foreign policy, especially when it comes to extremism and the wars that he so fervently wanted to bring to a close. And the question is, are we closing these wars as the victors? Did we really rout al-Qaeda? Because now the Taliban is getting their top commanders out of Guantanamo Bay after they were captured.
Yep.
And the only agreement is that even if everything goes as planned, it's 1 year. In 1 year, what? They get to do what they want?
Yeah. Well, they're doing what they want now. We know that. Listen to what Randy Forbes, our good friend, the congressman from Virginia, had to say with Chuck Hagel. This is number 44.
Did you make an assessment of how many American lives may be put at risk if they have to be recaptured?
No.
Okay.
There's risk that we have to our country, threats our country every day, everywhere. And the other point I would make on this, we determined that there was a substantial mitigation of risk for this country, for our interests, for our citizens and our service members when we made this decision.
It just flies in the face of all the other evidence we have. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Yeah, now, so he's saying it wasn't a high risk. Listen to what Randy Forbes then said. This is number 39 about the individual release, according to the Deputy Secretary of Defense and Deputy Secretary of Intelligence. Listen to this.
The individuals we released were essentially equivalent to releasing a Deputy Secretary of Defense, a Deputy Secretary of Intelligence, a Deputy Secretary of Interior, a Governor, and a Commander. And when the President was asked if there was a possibility of them returning to activities that are detrimental to the U.S., his answer was absolutely. Our Deputy Director of National Intelligence was even harsher. He said the latest community-wide U.S. intelligence assessment on these five terrorists said he expected four out of the five Taliban leaders would return to the battlefield.
This tells you how dangerous it is, and I think this is why we're fighting back, folks. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989 to sign the petition, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Texas on line 6. Whoop, he just dropped. All right, that happens. Let's go to Jameel, calling from Houston, Texas, on line 3. Hi, Jameel.
Hi, sir. I just want to say thank you so much for what you're doing. I feel so much safer because you guys are doing all of this. My question is, I heard you say about the Middle East being like more overtaken by the Taliban than ever before.
Well, let me have David be really specific, Jamil. Hang on 1 second. Go ahead. What? It wasn't the Taliban. This was the situation in Iraq.
Al-Qaeda and worse organizations, Al-Qaeda, in northern Iraq and northern Syria, they now control more territory than Al-Qaeda has ever controlled before.
That's in Iraq. But go ahead, Jamil.
That's what you said. Okay, my thing is this whole thing about Obama. But McCain had told Obama if he went to go help in Syria that he would make sure that he was impeached. And I didn't understand why they would not let the American troops go back and help.
You're raising really good questions. David's, by the way, just so you know, Jamil, I'm going to have David French answer this because he's a major in the United States Army. And then I want you to stay in line. We'll keep talking. Go ahead, David.
The reason that many people oppose the intervention in Syria is because it would have actually ended up helping Al-Qaeda.
Because they were pretty much the activists behind it.
That's right, because they were going to attack the Syrian government on behalf of the Syrian rebels, and the Syrian rebels are dominated by Al-Qaeda. And so that was the problem there. We didn't want to use American bombs, put American lives at risk to benefit Al-Qaeda.
Because I didn't understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. Those were great questions. I'm glad we were able to answer them. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, quickly here, looking at how this is playing out, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously what's been done has been done. And there's the angle of what happens to Sergeant Bergdahl and his, you know, what happens when he's back in the United States. Will we ever hear from him? And he's not speaking to his family. And there's a lot going on there. And that could, again, delay some of the information about, from his perspective, and what the military report is, what really happened here. Was it the case of someone disgruntled, walking off, and then getting captured? Or was it even more severe than that? The second part will be, of course, the idea of the president once again trying to flout the law, the idea that the president can decide when or not, when he will or will not follow the law. And Chuck Hagel's admitting that on Capitol Hill today, that they ignored the law.
All right, I'll tell you this. It looks like we've got some breaking news coming, too, that we're going to get into right after the break on the VA scandal. Looks like we're getting that confirmed during the break here. We'll get you some more information on that. You're going to want to stay tuned, folks. We're live. We've got a lot more to discuss. You want to talk to us on air, get on the phones now, 800-684-3110. You can talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Sign that petition. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're here for you every day. We're fighting back here in the United States and around the globe. We could use your help. Go to ACLJ.org and make that online gift. If you want to sign that petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Also, you should be getting the email updates. ACLJ.org. Sign up for the email alerts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Very important you do that. We're approaching 2 million on Facebook, so that between all of our entities here. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with your calls. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The Obama administration is on the wrong path. The president is taking disturbing action, making deals with terrorists at the expense of our troops and our ally Israel. The U.S. just released 5 of the most dangerous jihadists in the world in exchange for one of our troops. At the same time, the Obama administration is backing the newly formed unity government of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, backing and funding jihadists that want to destroy Israel, our most important ally in the region. President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Chuck Hagel still testifying, the Secretary of Defense. None too good, I might add. This is not a specialty, that's for sure. We've said that for a couple of years. But we're taking your calls. This is a lot of news breaking. It looks like we're in direct communication with the Taliban for this release of these Gitmo detainees, which is a little bit contrary to what the White House was saying. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to, by the way, those of you that are listening to the broadcast now, tell your friends, if they're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, simply, if they have SiriusXM, they can get it on Family Talk 131. If not, just go, and a number of stations carry it too, just go over to aclj.org. We're streaming it right there. You can't miss it. So encourage your friends to do that as well. We're going right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, we'll go to Aaron in Virginia online too. Aaron, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm on a cell phone. I hope you can hear me.
You sound great.
So I just have a couple comments. One is, I disagree with the deal, the Bergdahl deal. I wouldn't have done it. But I think their administration's mismanagement of it is the big issue. If they just said essentially what Charles Krauthammer's position is, which is, no matter what, it is our duty to bring our soldiers back. We understand it's an unfair deal, but, you know, we value individual life more than these savages. That's how it is. If they just said that principled position, I would still disagree with it, but I think there'd be less of an outcry. They tried.
Well, they could have just complied with the law. I mean, we may have disagreed with the policy swap, but the law did not require congressional consent. The law simply required notice and certification. And once that notice and certification was done, then the president could do what he wanted to do. But he didn't do that because he knew the congressional pushback on it would be so large. But go ahead and finish, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. And I also wanted to point out, a lot of people who support the deal cite the Israeli swap of 1,027 prisoners.
Yep.
And obviously it's a lot more people than five, but there's some key differences that I think these people ignore, which is, one, the Israeli military has a very different relationship with its citizens than we do. Everyone serves when they're 18,
correct,
man or woman, for multiple years. And also it's a much smaller country that faces more adversity than anyone. They have a biblical bond. It's a much different dynamic.
Well, there's also the issue in we do a lot of work there. We have an office in Jerusalem there, and Jordan's been there. They also, when they do these prisoner swaps, oftentimes the leaders of the pack, so to speak, are later eliminated. These ones that are the real terrorists, and part of the Israelis track them down. And Jordan, we've seen that. We know that. We've been there when the bombs have come in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so this is a very different situation. I would say, you know, the ranking level of these five.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when members of Congress are talking about this is like the Deputy Secretary of Defense. I mean, these are high ranking. This is not common criminals. They're not the ground soldiers. You know, in a sense, you could release 1,000 captured fighters a decade after a conflict is different than these five. You can't compare it. So, again, 1,000 people who are the low level versus five of the top who are still wanting to be involved, who keep things going, who keep things running. That's why that comparison, it's not fair, but it's also very inaccurate.
David, your sense on that one from a military perspective, the Israel comparison.
Well, look, a big difference here is that I do not know of any situation where an Israeli soldier, even under all the differences that the caller laid out very well, where there was 100% of the available evidence indicated that Israeli soldier had potentially deserted.
Right.
And that's a big – and you have to understand, in military circles, that is a big, big part of this story. Because when you walk away from your base – You break faith with your brothers, and you put them at risk of death.
Right.
Because you know that every one of them is going to have to come out there and try to find you in horrible, inhospitable terrain that the enemy holds. And so that's a big, big part of the story. Now, at the same time, I will tell you that a lot of folks in the military would say, hey, absolutely, we'd go if we knew where he was. We'd go rescue him, kill his captors, and bring him home and put him on trial. But to hand the Taliban a victory...
That's the problem.
...when he walked away from his base, that's a big, big problem.
All right, Gabe is calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on line 5. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Good.
My question, Obama, he consistently breaks the law.
Yep.
He's done it over and over. Why do we as Americans have to, or in Congress, have to pass laws so that he doesn't break a law?
Well, the fact is, elections have consequences. And the president said if Congress wasn't going to work with him, he was going to use a pen and his phone. And Jordan, he's doing exactly what he said, except he didn't bother to pick up the phone and call members of Congress on this one.
No, it's exactly. It's a perfect analogy to what the president said to the American people that he was going to do. He made no mistake about that, and how he was interpreting the power that he had. He would do anything when he could act without Congress, and he determined here he could act, and the wheels were put in motion. And obviously, no one in his administration, I think he's got a lot of yes men around him, a lot of yes men and women around him. No one in his administration was able to stop him here and say, hey, maybe we should at least inform the congressional leadership on both sides of the aisle so that this has not come as a shock, and then we're complying with the law.
I think that's exactly correct. All right, Michael's calling from Pennsylvania on line 4. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. I appreciate you guys' passion. I listen to you daily, and it's just amazing that they government can get away with so many things. But I served during the Reagan-Bush years, and at that time, I mean, I was able to hold my head high knowing that my president and my government had my back.
Yep.
I really pray for my sisters and brothers that are in the military now that have to undergo this type of management, which is so amateur, just unbelievable. I have a hard time even just comprehending or putting my head around each week's scandal.
Yeah.
And keeping track of them.
Well, I'm going to ask David, because David's a major in the United States Army now, and what's kind of this consensus of your friends that you're hearing from?
Well, you know, I get on word through social media from a number of sources, from people who both recently left the active duty military. Like I have, you know, I'm an inactive reserve, in IRR, individual ready reserve. People are not active in the military, and then some folks who are still active in the military. One of the things that's resonating is that it just seems like the president does not understand military culture and military values.
Yeah.
That he would think that this was a great victory shows that there is an enormous gap between his understanding what the military believes and what the military actually believes.
All right, Brian, really quick here because we're running out of time on the broadcast. Go ahead.
Yes, Jay, thank you. You know, the UN was wanting one or two of those five Taliban that Obama released.
I know.
And so in effect, we denied another legal entity to have due process against
two of the ones were detainees. Was the Taliban Deputy Minister of Defense during Operation Enduring Freedom? You've got Mullah Nouri was detainee, was a senior Taliban military commander. Yes, the UN was after them as well, and the president made this call. I'm sure he didn't call the United Nations either. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. If you want to voice your concern, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition now on all of this, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We certainly don't want our taxpayer dollars going to fund these groups, and that's exactly what the president's going to do with Hamas. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, share us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Jordan has a Facebook page. I do. The American Center for Law and Justice does. Get out on the social media. Critical. So share and like us there. And sign up for our email alerts. Get your friends to do likewise. And tell your friends they can get the whole hour of the broadcast just by listening at ACLJ.org. But again, sign that petition, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And by the way, those of you that are on our email list, you're getting an email right now on a lot of these topics. Encourage you to take a look at it. We'll keep you posted also. Jordan will be on Twitter as to what's happening on the Hagel hearings this afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
President Obama continues to take actions that violate the law. It's time to send the Obama administration a message. President Obama must follow the law. No deals with jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.